This weekend, SPAC welcomes Johannes Moser, classical music's newest sensation.
Moser has been praised for his rich, gorgeous tone and playing that can range from lovely to elegant to vigorous with head-banging rock star energy.
The German-Canadian cellist has been hailed by Gramophone magazine as one of the finest among the astonishing gallery of young virtuoso cellists. He will solo with the Philadelphia Orchestra tomorrow night and the Saratoga Chamber Music Festival on Sunday, and it's a great pleasure to have him before our microphones here at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center on this Friday morning. Thank you so much. What an honor.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. At what point do you say, in your life, did you say, this is what I want to do professionally?
Well, actually, my idea of a career path was much different in the beginning, because I thought that I wanted to be an orchestra musician first, because my father, he was an orchestra cellist. So I thought it would be a good career path. And I was probably 14 when I lost in a competition. And that loss was just so devastating that I thought, I cannot accept this. And I started practicing like a madman. And 2 years later, I won the same competition. So in a way, I felt like, huh, this concept of practicing really is working somehow.
Should it be an Olympic sport? I mean, that would be great.
Music? No, I don't think that music sort of should be exercised in competition all the time. I just think it's a good Kickstarter for people to get to notice you. But as soon as you have a competition, you know, take the money and run. Like, don't stick with competitions. If you don one, then go into the real world. Because I think competitions have nothing to do with what music making actually is about, which is, you know, about conveying emotion and touching people. And it's not about higher, faster, stronger, wider.
And that's what you did. You took the money and ran.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was 23 when I was successful in Moscow at the Tchaikovsky competition.
Wow.
And then
and that's what made Van Cliburn famous to begin with, too?
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Right. A couple of years earlier.
A lifetime earlier.
I think 52 years earlier, something like that. Yeah. But, that was that competition. And then I, you know, until that point, I thought, you know, why not go into orchestra? And after that, I was like, oh, maybe I can do something else with the cello, and started, you know, auditioning for conductors, and started writing to agents, and you know, the whole shebang that you have to do, here we are today.
Well, now Sarah told me that you were in the Joshua Bell, you know, Johannes tradition, a rock star. So how does that, I mean, I think she thinks you're very handsome. What happens when you, leave the pavilion and there are all those screaming, you know, young women out there waiting for you to come out?
Well, I think rock star and rock star are two different things. I think where this came from, this is actually from a review, of my Shostakovich concerto in Cleveland with the Cleveland Orchestra. And I think the reviewer felt that, you know, I was maybe bringing some intensive energy to the piece. But to tell you the truth, as soon as my part on the stage is over, my persona, Johannes Moser, the cellist, is also over. Like, I was playing a concert in Frankfurt, I remember, and I was going to listen to the second half in the concert hall, because I wasn't playing that half, right? I was just playing on the first half.
Yeah.
And then I went into the audience, and this guy in the back tipped on my shoulder and was like, young man, without a ticket, you cannot enter the concert hall. So my fame had faded within 2 minutes, of leaving the stage. And
Why don't you take off the bow tie?
Exactly. Once you don't carry your weapon, it's you're nobody again. And you know what? That's a good thing, because you can absolutely live a life that unless real rock stars, you know, like Lady Gaga, that are under surveillance 24/7. You know, in classical music, you can live a life that is absolutely private, and you can really just put all your energy and your resources into performance, and I think that's what it's about.
But do you feel, I don't know that pressure is the word, but do you feel a responsibility in being young, in appearance and in energy and demeanor of when young people come to a concert for the first time, of connecting with them in some way?
Well, I don't know if pressure is the right word. I feel that there's opportunity. Yes. And I feel that there is great opportunity for people to discover classical music, because obviously it's not perceived on a scale like it was like maybe 50 or 100 years ago. But I think for me, when it comes to education, the most important thing is that people actually play an instrument rather than just, being introduced to coming to concerts. I think when you play piano or violin for 1 or 2 years at least, you will have the appreciation when you go to the symphony and you see these people doing it on a very advanced level. You actually appreciate, because you know how hard it is to get one good note out of your clarinet.
Is there a musical gene? I say that because you said your father was a musician.
Yeah.
And you're a great musician. So can anyone do this? Or
oh, absolutely. I think it's less a question of genetics than more of the socialization that you live in. Like what is your surrounding? Of course, what is your passion? What is your fire? I mean, if you are born, I'm just as an example, in Omaha, and there's nobody around you that has ever seen a classical music instrument. If you have the fire to do it, and you go to YouTube and you study the old masters and you burn for it, of course, there's a great chance that you will be, just as good as a musician like anybody else.
Just respectfully, I don't agree. Mm-hmm. I have a friend named Peter Davis right here in Saratoga. I had played the banjo for 15 years. He said, "Let me see that thing," and in an hour, he was playing better than I was. So,
I mean, there certainly is, is a thing called talent. But I think you need to have incredible persistence to develop that talent. I think there are many cases where people say, he has such a gift, but he did not, or she did not pursue or develop that talent. And I think those are really sad incidents, because you see somebody who has potential and then does not make the most of it. Sure. So you really need to nurture it. And I mean, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I still, I practiced this morning, and I will practice after this interview, and I will just, try to keep up my chops.
You'll be performing here at the SPAC Amphitheater tomorrow night in a program called Arabian Nights. You're doing Dvorak.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then on Sunday, you will be with the Chamber Music Festival.
Exactly. Yeah.
Two very different experiences, one certainly more intimate than the other, but I guess something that you duly enjoy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I couldn't tell you what I enjoy more. I mean, both are so very, specific. I think, though, what I'm looking for is, when I play Dvorak, I look also for chamber music quality, and we're gonna play Schubert in the chamber music concert, and I look for symphonic lines in the chamber music. So I think they have a lot of connection to one another. But certainly, I mean, the chamber music concert on Sunday is going to be more intimate, and it's just going to be a little bit closer.
Do you channel them? Do you know what they? I mean, do you read Dvorak and then decide what it was that made the man and what he was trying to say to you?
I try to. Of course, I try to read biographical details to see where the piece was written, what's the context, what was written about it. However, I think that those are only tools. I mean, that does not carry the full truth. I think the full truth comes out when you try to see what does Dvorak mean to me personally. What is my personal connection to it? Because of course you can get stuck with biographical details or details of context. But I think once you make that very strong personal connection, that's when it starts to come to life. Because obviously what my job is as a performer is not only to, study the text and study what he has, left us in his writing, in musical writing, but it's actually to bring a piece to life and to turn this piece into basically waves of energy that go into the audience and, create emotions. And this sort of transformation of written notes into energy, that is what a performer is all about. And that is something that I've been very fascinated with for a long time, because if you just get stuck with the notes and the information, you I think you're missing the point a little bit. You know, it's really reaching people and connecting with people and connecting on a level that is beyond words and beyond facts. And I think that's what makes music so special.
We have an amazing treat this morning for us and for our listeners. You have brought your cello with us.
Yeah.
And you are going to perform a little bit. What will you be performing?
Well, I thought it would be nice to give a little preview of Sunday's concert. So I'm going to play the prelude of the first Bach suite, which I'm going to play on Sunday afternoon.
Excellent. Well, I'll let you get ready. Cellist Johannes Moser will solo with the Philadelphia Orchestra tomorrow night and the Saratoga Chamber Music Festival on Sunday. You can find out more about both programs by going to SPAC.org. SPAC.org. Tomorrow's performance is Arabian Nights. It's at 8 o'clock right here at SPAC. And again, the Chamber Music Festival will be on Sunday afternoon. We now hear Johannes Moser. Johannes Moser, thank you so much. What a great pleasure. Thank you. Cellist Johannes Moser will solo with the Philadelphia Orchestra tomorrow night in the Saratoga Chamber Music Festival on Sunday. You can find out more by going to SPAC.org. Man, doesn't get better than that. Thanks so much, and best of luck. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.